Good morning. I hope y'all are having a great day today. I want you to know I'm a little tired this morning. We had a great day yesterday. Yes. Manny and Sarah, we took Manny and Sarah up to Fayetteville, and they went to their first big D1 football game. Yeah, and we even got their name up on the screen and said, welcoming Manny and Sarah to their first Razorback football game. Yeah, and the day was great. We had great fellowship. We ate lunch together. We had other friends there and whatnot, and everything was wonderful until about 6:35 when BYU kicked off. Then things began to change. Yeah. Those of you that don't know me know that I love football, love watching football. I coached football for many years. I thoroughly enjoy it. But I will tell you this, I learned something yesterday, I figured something out, that the biggest difference between staying at home and watching it on TV versus going to the game is that when your team starts playing bad, you cannot change the channel. You have to sit there through the whole thing. And it was so bad last night that it got down to the last few seconds of the game where we were still sitting there and we didn't score and the game was over and then the referee even threw a flag and stuff and they had to discuss when the game was over. And so we had to sit through that. And then the referee said, okay, the game is over. And BYU started jumping up and down and hollering. And all the Razorback fans said, 76,000 of them. Unhappy. 76,000 unhappy people. Well, we'll give BYU 1,000. Okay. 75,000 unhappy people. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. That's kind of how it goes. But one of the things I said along the way home, and I don't know if Kathy heard me say it or not, I don't know if Manny or Sarah heard me say it or not, I was talking to our other friends, Gary and Lana, that were there, and I was talking to Gary, and I said, well, you know, in the overall scheme of things, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. But it meant a whole lot right then. Yeah. I hope and pray that you are as happy to come to worship as I am. Amen. I have thoroughly enjoyed this morning so far. I've thoroughly enjoyed being with you. I've thoroughly enjoyed the class that I taught before our worship service began. I enjoy people coming to visit. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful to be around you, to be with you, to worship God. And I know that you probably know these things as well, that sometimes when you are unable to come and worship, you miss it. And I sure do. I miss it when I'm not here. And so I want to thank all of you for being here today. And I want to especially thank our visitors for being here with us today. I want to start out by asking a question. When somebody comes into this congregation who is from a different denomination or a different religion or a different church, what is the first thing they notice? We don't have musical instruments Isn't that interesting? And it's also interesting to me because I've even had people tell me, say, well, y'all don't believe in music. I say, well, yeah, we do believe in music. We sing a lot. Well, I mean, you don't believe in musical instruments. I said, well, let me describe that to you. Let me talk to you about that. We come together to worship. And one of the things that we want to look at right there in Psalms 96 verses 1 through 4 says this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Does that sound like we don't believe in worship or we don't believe in music? No, it sounds like that we sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day unto day. Every day, proclaim the good news of His salvation. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods. Now my question for you this morning is this. How are we to worship? We come to worship every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We come to worship for these purposes to give glory to God. But oftentimes we come and we go through the motions, but we really don't realize what we are doing or why we are doing it in this manner. So I want to spend a little time this morning to teach you why we do it the way we do it, why it's important to do it this way. Primarily because God commanded it. But God is worthy of it. We should be willing, able, and eager to worship the Creator of all things. Now, first, we want to look at this. Because in John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking to a woman at the well. And this woman was a Samaritan woman. And she asked Jesus a question, and the question was, should we worship at this mountain or should we worship in Jerusalem? Because there was a division among the people. Some said you didn't need to go into Jerusalem to worship, that you could just worship at this mountain. And the people that were in Jerusalem were not happy about that because they wanted them to come to Jerusalem to worship. And so she asked the question. Can we worship at this mountain or should we go to Jerusalem? And Jesus responds and says, there is a time coming and now is that you shall worship how? Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, I want to look at those. Because to worship in spirit is an individual thing. It's you. Have you ever left here and said, well, I really didn't enjoy the service today? You're one of the few if you're saying no. That preacher, he just went too long. Have you ever left and really not gotten really anything out of it? You know why? Because it's you. It's right here, isn't it? You are the one that gets it out of it. I didn't enjoy the song service. Well, why not? because you weren't involved in it. You are called to be involved. I didn't enjoy the prayer service. Why? Because you weren't involved in it. I didn't enjoy the Lord's Supper. Why? Because you didn't take the time to be involved in it. How can you watch these little ones up here and not get involved in that? Folks, I want you to know that worshiping in spirit is a call for you to worship. Every one of us are called to worship God. We can't sit back and watch someone else do it and expect that to be our worship. We often say, if we go to a football game, we won. Did you? I thought the team won. Or we lost. Did you? I thought the team lost. Unless you're participating in it, you didn't win, you didn't lose. Unless you're participating in the worship service, then you yourself are not worshiping. And you don't have to stand up here and preach. You don't have to stand up here and say a prayer. You don't have to stand up here and lead the song service to participate in the worship service. If somebody stands up here and sings for us, that's great, but you know what? I didn't sing. I didn't participate. Therefore, we are called to worship in spirit. That means it is us who worship. We as a congregation worship. And therefore, we must worship together in spirit and in truth. We must worship the way that God has taught us to worship. In truth. Because in Matthew chapter 15 verse 9 it tells us that they worship in vain, teaching the doctrines of men rather than the doctrines of God. Their worship is in vain. Therefore, we are called as Christians to worship within ourselves and do it in the manner that God has commanded. Now, I want you to know that when we talk about doing it in the manner that God has commanded, we are commanded to worship in such a way that we receive it in one of two ways. We receive it by command, direct command, or we receive it by example. How did the Christians of the New Testament worship? How did they do that? What did they do? How did they go about it? This is what the example that is set before us on how to do. They worshiped in spirit within themselves, but they also worshiped in truth. And if you do not worship in both spirit and truth, then your worship is in vain. It means nothing to come here and sit in a pew. You must participate. You are called to be involved. Involve yourself in our worship service. Now, let's look at this. In Colossians 3:16, it says these words, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts, spirit, to God." Singing to God in spirit. Now notice that We are commanded right here to sing. Is that a command? Yes, it is. If you sit back and listen to someone else sing, you're not following the command, are you? Neither are you worshiping God in your hearts because you're not singing. Do you listen to the words or do you mouth the words? Do you listen to what it says? Do you pay attention? Is it in your heart? Sing. Now understand this, like I said just a minute ago, we are commanded, but we are also given examples. Now nowhere in the New Testament, and I want y'all to understand this, nowhere in the New Testament is there an example of the Christians using musical instruments. Nowhere in the New Testament is there an example of Christians being commanded to use musical instruments. And that's why we don't do it. It's not commanded. There is no example. So therefore, we don't do it. Now realize, I'm not saying that musical instruments or not musical instruments is a prerequisite for salvation. I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you is this. The command is for us to sing. And the command is for us to sing in the Spirit. And so therefore, what are we commanded to do? Sing. Sing. We shouldn't have to try to pry it out of you. You should sing as if Jesus Christ Himself was standing here before you because He is. When two or three are gathered together in His name, He is with us. We should sing as He is standing before us. Can you imagine how it's going to be in heaven? When God and Christ are truly standing right there before us and we can see them physically, we will sing. Folks, sing. It's a command. Do it. Secondly, 1 Timothy 2:8 tells us that we are not only to sing, but we are to pray. Pray. We are to sing songs of praise to God, but we are also to pray to God. We are to pray for our sick. We are to pray for our congregation. We are to pray for the members of the Lord's church throughout the entire world. We are to pray. And folks, I've told you this before. I don't believe we fully understand the power of prayer. I don't believe it. Because I can tell you that I myself struggle with that. Prayer is incredibly powerful because you are calling upon the Creator of all things. You are calling upon God, whose power is limitless. We have a tendency to forget that. Our prayer life should be better. And you should spend more time in it. Because if you do, you're going to see great things happening. Third, we are given the example that on the first day of the week, they gathered together for the purpose of remembering Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is a very important part of our worship service. Now, I want you to understand something about this on the first day of the week, because there are examples of that being done on other days of the week. So my question is, can we have the Lord's Supper on other days as well? The answer is yes, we can. They did it in the first century. They did it at the first church in Jerusalem. They did it on multiple days for multiple different reasons. But the command as we look at right here, or the example that we looked at, is that when those people who came together on the day of Pentecost and heard the word of Jesus Christ for the first time, and some 3,000 were saved that day, they began to break bread daily to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. That's why we do this every first day of the week. The example is given. They did it. When they went back to their homes, they came together on the first day of the week for the main purpose, and I'm going to say that in that manner, to remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, this is incredibly important for us to do this, and not only that, it is essential for us to remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There are churches out there that only do it once a month. There are churches out there that only do it once a quarter. There are churches out there that only do it twice a year. There are some that only do it once a year. No, that is not the example given to us. The example given to us is to do it every week, the first day of the week. That doesn't mean you can't have it other days of the week, but definitely the first day of the week. That is why we gather together, in order to break bread to remember that great sacrifice. This is something we are also commanded to do. This is not an example, it's a command that we are to give on the first day of the week. As we have been prospered, give on the first day of the week. Now, there are churches out there that I know that give multiple times during the week as well. Not necessarily anything wrong with that, but realize what the command is. The command is to give on the first day of the week. And because of that commandment, that's why we do it. Isn't that right, Paul? And the Lord loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. One who is willing. One who is desirous. One who realizes that we as a congregation have some needs for financial help. But not only that, that this congregation is very well blessed in that we can also help the needs of congregations throughout the world. And we are doing so. And I'm proud of that, because we can reach out to other people who need help, and we can help them in whatever manner that help is needed. Reach out. Giving is a command. It is something that we are to do on a weekly basis. Notice this in 2 Timothy 4:2. Teaching is part of the worship service. That's why I'm here. To teach. To let you know this is why we do these things. Teaching is part of the worship service in that we must preach the word so that we may be ready whenever something comes up that we can tell others. Teaching the word is incredibly important. And too oftentimes what I see is that preachers will get up and they won't teach the word, but they'll teach somebody else's word. What does it say? In vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines of men. Do y'all wonder why I put the scripture on the board? So that you can see that this is not the doctrines of men. This is God's word. To teach God's word, to preach His word, so that all of us would learn from it and be ready when we go out into the world to spread that gospel. For within that gospel is the power of salvation. It must be taught. It must be spread. Now the last verse that I've got up there is Matthew 4:10. And it tells us that we shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. There are quick and easy ways to see if indeed a congregation is doing what God wants them to do. Are they teaching the word? Are they taking the Lord's Supper? Are they giving? Are they worshiping in spirit and in truth? Are they singing songs of praise to God? Are they lifting their voice in prayer? All those things, it makes it very easy if you walk into a congregation and you see what they are doing and you can tell very quickly, are they following what God has commanded? Are they following the examples that are given to us in the New Testament? This is how we should do it. We come together today for the purpose of worshiping God. We come together today to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We come together today to sing songs of praise, to lift our voice in prayer, and to remember the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine skipping such a day as this. I cannot imagine what our life would be without God, without Jesus Christ, without hope of salvation. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy is His name to be praised. And realize we can do it anytime, anywhere, any place. But how wonderful it is when we can come together as Christians and praise Him together. Thank you for being here today. If you have a desire this morning, a desire for our prayers, or a desire to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.